27. Thank you so much, Brother Wood, for leading service here this evening. Psalm 127, and we'll read just a couple of verses. Look at this wonderful truth for our lives. Many places around the world are already in 2024. Russia is already in 2024. North Korea is already in 2024. They said today in their statement, North Korea, the leader of North Korea said that their New Year's resolution is to collect more nukes, which is great hope for the world. Other countries are Australia, the continent of Australia, they're in 2024. And so, I mean, when it comes to time, obviously God is in eternity and time means nothing to God, but it does keep up us organized. And I think the one thing that I love about a new year is that it's kind of a clean slate and a new opportunity. And that's the way our minds think. Even if it's, you know, you people talk about, well, you know, I'm going to start a diet or exercise in the new year. You can do that the beginning of December. It's okay to do that. But the way we think is, you know, it's a new year, new opportunity. And usually gyms are filled with people on January 1st, and then they're empty about March. That New Year's resolution didn't last. And I'm not really big on New Year's resolutions. I do think we should make some resolves in our life. And really, God is always the goal, right? And so we want to make sure that through 2024, our goal is to be closer to God. And if you, listen, if you are closer to God at the end of 2024 than at the beginning, then it's a successful year in my books. And so I hope that that's your goal. To draw closer to God. And here at our church, Brother Mar and I have prayed about it and built a calendar to try to accomplish that. Our goal, of course, is to draw nearer to the Lord. And we're excited about what God is going to do in this new year as we launch out to worship Him. Psalm 127, verse 1 says this, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep." You know, oftentimes in our life we become frustrated with the process, and oftentimes we become frustrated with the product. We have the attitude, you know, I'm at the end of my rope, or, you know, I'm coming unglued, or I'm at my wit's end. I'm frustrated. I'm stressed out. I'm ready to throw in the towel, and our life quickly gets out of control. And this happens when our life gets out of balance. And this is my focus here tonight as we think of the last message for this year, is I want to talk about a balanced life and what that looks like and why it's important in our Christian life to learn to maintain balance each and every day. There's a lot of people that don't have balance in their life. They go from one extreme to another extreme. You know, Jesus had the perfect balance in his life. The Bible says that when John spoke of Christ and he saw Christ, he said he came in grace and truth. Jesus was perfectly balanced in grace, and he was perfectly balanced in truth. Now, oftentimes, some people will focus on the truth aspect, and they'll forget about the grace aspect, or they'll lean all the way to the grace aspect, and they'll forget about the truth aspect. But Jesus came perfectly balanced in grace and truth. And so balance is important. Now, for our study here tonight, we're going to use the word balance as an acrostic. And we're going to spell out balance, B-A-L-A-N-C-E. And we're going to look at that as our main points for our message and what balance should look like for a Christian and why 2024 ought to be a life or a year of balance for us as we desire to serve the Lord. All right, so we're going to start off with the letter B, because that's what balance starts with, balance, B. And we're going to think about building our life around Christ, building our life around Christ. Now, perhaps as we think of Christians today, this would automatically be a given that we would build our life around Christ. But the truth of the matter is, there are many Christians today that are not building their lives around the Lord Jesus. Something else has taken the Lord's place in their life. And this is when things become unbalanced. This is when things become unglued. So we want to make sure that at the center of our lives today, if we're going to be balanced, we want to make sure that at the center of our life is the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to make sure that he has the preeminence in our life. Now, how do we know what our life is centered around? Because all of us here tonight, our life is centered around something. So how do we know what is the center of our life? Well, first of all, ask yourself really these three simple questions. Number one, what do you think about the most? What do you spend most of your time on? And what do you devote your resources toward? You know, that's probably what is the center of your life. And we want to make sure, of course, that the Lord Jesus is the center of our life. I want you to go to the book of Matthew, if you could, with me. Matthew chapter 6 in our Bibles. Matthew chapter 6. And look what the Bible says in verse 33. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. And notice here what Jesus has to say. He says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you." Now, contextually, Jesus is talking about what the Gentiles seek, what their life is centered around. And their life is centered around all of the things, the material gain of this world. And Jesus is teaching his disciples that if you would center your life upon me, all of those necessities or needs will be added unto you. But it begins with, first of all, putting God at the center of your life. Now, there are good things that can become the center of our life. And those things are not bad things. Those things are not wrong things. Family can be put at the center of our life, and family is important. Family is good, but family ought not to be at the center of your life. Remember in the story of Abraham, when Abraham took his son Isaac, and God told Abraham to sacrifice your son. That would be a difficult thing to do, but the Bible says that Abraham went to Mount Moriah, and he was going to take the life of Isaac. Isaac was God's promise that he would bless him and make of him a great nation. But Abraham was going to kill his son because he believed by faith that God was going to raise him from the dead. And so what did he do? He grabbed that knife and he was going to plunge it into his son, and God stopped him. And God says, "I will provide myself a lamb." And the Bible says that God said to Abraham, "Now I know that you fear me and only me. I am at the center of your life." Family is a good thing, but family cannot be the center of our life, because if it is, we become unbalanced. Think about this. I mean, let's think about our vocation or our profession. I mean, these are good things and these are important things, but our vocation, our profession cannot be at the center of our life. Even ministry itself cannot be at the center of our life. I mean, when we think about the gift of the gospel, that pretty wrapping that is wrapped up in the, that wraps up the gospel is ministry, and ministry is important and ministry is good, but ministry cannot be at the center of our life. The Bible says in Matthew 22, verse 37, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. You know, ministry can become an idol. Family can become an idol. Our vocation, profession can become an idol. And we become unbalanced when they become the center of our life. God must be at the center of our life. And if we're going to be balanced in 2024, then we need to make sure we build our life around Jesus Christ. This is important. Build our life around Jesus Christ. Number two, the letter A, accept our humanity. Accept our humanity. What does it mean? Well, it means to stop trying to pretend that you're in control. Stop trying to be God in your life. You know what Satan had promised Adam and Eve? Satan said, if you take of that fruit, then you'll be in control. That was the deception. You'll be God. You'll have control. And any time we take the reins of our life, any time that we try to control our life, we make a big mess out of it. I mean, Adam and Eve made a mess. The reality is that we have to understand that we are human, and that means we are nothing more than earthen vessels. And Paul told the church at Corinth, he said that the excellency of our life is that we have this treasure, and that treasure is God in us. God is our strength. He's our power. He guides us. He leads us. He directs us. And we are human beings, and we have limitations. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 15, it says, the labor of the foolish wearieth every one of them, because he knoweth not how to go to the city. Solomon said it's not smart to wear yourself out with work. The reality is God will take care of things. And we need to understand in 2024 that we don't have the answers, and we need God in our life. We need God's wisdom. We need to seek the face of the Lord. I mentioned 2 Corinthians 4, 7. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And so it's okay for us not to have the answers. It's okay for us to lack wisdom, because the Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of the Lord, which giveth to every man liberally. It's okay to understand that we need the help of God. And the treasure of our life is that indwelling Spirit of God inside of us to help us. We are just jars of clay. We are just the dust of the earth, and we need the Lord to help us in our life. Psalm 119, verse 73 says, Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding, that I may learn thy commandments. God, help us today. Give us wisdom for 2024. Give us direction for 2024. And help us to realize our limitations. And God, help us to depend on him for his power and strength. Number three, limit my labor. Limit my labor. Now, what am I talking about? Well, let's think about God's plan for humanity. I want us to go to Exodus chapter 20 and notice what the Bible says. Exodus chapter 20. And I want us to notice here the scripture of what the Bible says in the 20th chapter, Exodus chapter 20, and verse number 9. Now, I'm not talking here about a holy day. We're not under the law here this evening. But I want to talk about principle. And this is important for us to understand the principle of what I'm saying here, that God has a plan for us, and God knows that plan because he created us. And he knows us better than we know ourselves. So let's just submit to God, and let's just accept the fact that God knows us better, and let's follow God's plan. Exodus 20, verse 9, the Bible says, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within the gates. Now, again, the Bible is revealing for us God's plan for the people of Israel. And the plan was simple, that they would work for 6 days, and then they would have a Sabbath. And we talk about a Sabbath. A Sabbath was a day of rest. And so that they would be established. Now, a lot of what God gave to the children of Israel, God established in that nation so that all of the surrounding nations around them would see that they serve the true God. In God's wisdom and in God's guidance and in God's direction, that these heathen nations would know that Israel served the true God. And that was found in what they were allowed to eat. That was found in the laws that were established. They didn't make up these laws. God gave them these laws. And these laws were filled with wisdom because God knew better than they knew. And the principle, I believe, is so important for us. Not that we have to have a Sabbath day or a holy day, because the Bible teaches us that in the New Testament, that that is not the case. But I do believe this, that God created us as people who need rest. We need rest. And I'm not trying to make an excuse for us to be lazy. That's not it at all. But I am saying this, that we need to take time in our life to rest. When did Satan attack Jesus? When he was tired and hungry. He was physically exhausted. When does Elijah fall into depression? He falls in depression when he's hungry and tired. I mean, the reality is that God understands the fact that we are a people that need to have rest in our life. The Bible says in Mark 2, verse 27, Jesus, he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. And so the idea of the scripture here is that God established the Sabbath for his people so that they could have rest for their physical body, so that they could recharge emotionally, so they could recharge spiritually. And I mean, we go back 20 years ago and everyone worked, you know, for 6 days. And on Sunday, we were in church and we were doing well. But our culture, our society has changed that. And people have become so tired, and because they're always working and they're emotionally drained and they're spiritually drained and they're physically drained. And I believe that if we're going to have a balanced life, we have to realize that, listen, it's not a sin to rest. It's important to rest. We need to have time to rest. Even Jesus got away from the multitude of people and he went to the mountain and he prayed and he rested, he recharged. It's important for us to do this. Number four, letter A, adjust our values. Adjust our values. Now, the second law of thermodynamics is simply this: energy spontaneously tends to flow only from being concentrated from one place to becoming diffused or dispersed and spread out. And this, of course, is illustrated in nature. The Energizer Bunny is a myth. It is not true. I've thrown away tons of batteries in my life. They don't just keep going and going and going. They burn out. They die. And neither do we. We tend to slow down. We physically and spiritually slow down. And so what is the answer to this? The answer is that we constantly need to correct our course. We constantly need to make adjustments in our life. And if we don't make those adjustments, then we start to major on minors. We become unbalanced in our life. We begin to keep up with the proverbial Joneses. We focus on materialism, which will cause our lives to become out of balance. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 4 says again, I considered all travail and every right work, that for this a man is envied of his neighbor, this is also vanity and vexation of spirit. Solomon said, listen, I saw people labor, trying to keep up with the Joneses, trying to have the best, trying to have the greatest. And he says, at the end of all of it, it's just empty. It's just empty. So what do we have to do? We have to adjust what is important, what is truly important. I was asked this question. I forget who asked me this question. We were having a casual conversation, and we were talking about an emergency or a fire. And someone asked me, they said, what would you grab if your house was on fire? What would be the first thing that you would run to? Well, of course, I would say my wife and my kids. Okay, well, let's push that out of the way. We understand that that's the first thing. I hope so, anyway. What else would you run for? What is the most important thing in your life? What has value to you? Would it be family memories? Would it be that new laptop? Would it be your television? What is the most valuable thing that you have? You know, there are always times in our life where we have to adjust those values. And we have to make sure in our life, where we are today, that I'm living for what is most important. I'm living for that which is eternal. Jesus said, he said, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world but lose his own soul? You know, I've learned in my life, I've been alive for 43 years, and I've learned that it's easy to become possessed by your possessions. It's easy to be controlled by what you have. It's easy to live your life and to think that your value is based on what you own. And Jesus said that your life consisted more than the things that you have. First of all, understand this. You are valuable to God. You are valuable to God. God loves you, and God died for you. And if everyone forsakes you in 2024, I say this, if you're a Christian, God will stand beside you. I love the testimony of the Apostle Paul. He's in a Roman jail cell, and he writes to a young man named Timothy. And as I read 1 and 2 Timothy, it would seem to me that Timothy's kind of wavering. He doesn't know if he wants to be associated with this Apostle Paul. And Paul tells Timothy, he says, listen, all has forsaken me. I'm here all by myself. But then he makes this incredible thought. He says, nevertheless, God stands with me. And no matter who walks away from us, God is there with us. The greatest thing that you can own today is the presence of God in your life. The Bible teaches us not to be carried away with covetousness. Jesus said, for I will never leave you nor forsake you. The most important thing in your life is Christ in us, the hope of glory. The most important thing. And so adjust your values. What is truly important in your life? The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 6, better is a handful with quietness than both the hands full with travail and vexation of spirit. Number five, let's think about this. Nourish our inner life. Nourish our inner life. I've always had the statement of faith for Kitchener Baptist Church that our focus was always going to be the inner man. And I know a lot of churches today, they focus on the entertainment aspect of church, and they focus on, you know, building a crowd and all of those things. But I believe the most important thing in a church, that when you come into a church, you shouldn't be nourished physically, but you should be nourished in the inner man. And the Bible says the outward man perisheth, but the inward man is renewed day by day. And we want to make sure that that inner man is renewed, because if we don't do that, then we simply become unbalanced in our life. We hear this phrase, and I don't hear it a lot as much anymore, but you've probably heard in time past people say something like, he's on fire for God. And that expression, he's on fire for God, it really is a phrase that speaks of the passion that they have for the things of God. And in a lot of churches, someone who's on fire for God is usually the one that's seen as the weirdo. But hopefully at our church, the one who's not on fire for God, they're the ones that are looked at as the one that's different. But the idea to have a passion for the things of the Lord is so important in our life. As a child, we would heat our home with a wood stove. And it was wonderful, but a wood stove, and I was just a kid, but I knew this because my dad would constantly tell us, a wood stove, I mean, in our home, it was a great deal of work. There was the loading, there was the unloading of wood, there was the stacking, the carrying, the cutting. And of course, I was just a child, and I would carry what I could, but I didn't have the strength to bring in a lot. But then there was the constant monitoring of the fire and making adjustments to the damper to keep that fire burning. And I think that stoves have come a long way since that old stove that we had in our house. But the same is true with our passion for the Lord Jesus. If our passion is seen as a fire that is burning, then we constantly have to monitor that fire. We constantly have to tend to it. Because if we don't, then that fire, that passion, will simply grow cold in our life. I remember how excited I was when I came out of Bible college to serve the Lord. I heard an evangelist preach when I was a teenager. And I remember people making decisions for God. And I remember thinking as a teenager, if I can have that impact in people's lives by preaching the Bible and helping people make decisions for God, then sign me up. I want to be a part of that. But then over the years, as you serve the Lord and, you know, in ministry, you become hurt, you become discouraged. All of those things can simply put that flame out. And you constantly, you have to nourish that flame, or you will simply give up. You will quit. And that is not true just for a pastor. That is true for a Christian. It is easy for us to become discouraged. It is easy for us to become indifferent to the things of God. The Bible says in Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 6, it says, they made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. You know, sometimes we're so busy trying to keep someone else's fire burning that we forget that we have a fire that has to be tended to. It's like when you're on an airplane and they tell you, in case of an emergency, make sure that your mask is securely attached. And then help somebody else. And this is not being selfish. This is being a Mary in ministry. This is the most important thing. The most important thing to every mom and to every dad and to every Sunday school teacher and every pastor is to make sure that their fire is burning bright so that they can help someone else tend to their flame. But if your fire is out, and you're helping somebody else make a fire in their life, then you're simply just going through the motions. And you become weary and tired. And you give up. You quit. It's so important to focus our attention in nourishing our inner life. I read a book a while ago. And in that book, it gave me 10 questions. And these 10 questions were given to help us to see if the flame in our life is still burning bright. And I'm going to give you these 10 questions, and you answer them in your heart to see where you are with the Lord. Number one, do you have a thirst for God? Are you governed by the Word of God? Are you more loving? Are you more sensitive to God's presence? Do you have a growing concern for the temporal and spiritual needs of other people? Do you delight in the bride of Christ? Are the spiritual disciplines increasingly important to you? And the disciplines of the Christian life would be prayer and reading your Bible, those things that we have to make decisions and be disciplined to do them. I don't just wake up in the morning and read the Bible because that's what I've always done. I have to make a decision to read the Bible in the morning. And there's a lot of things that are grabbing for my attention, and it takes discipline to say no to those things and yes to the important things. And so in your life, do you still grieve over sin? Are you quick to forgive? Do you yearn for heaven and to be with Jesus? If we find that the fire in our life is grown cold, then the reality is we're out of balance. And everything around us will be out of balance in our life, because we'll begin to put things in our life that shouldn't be there. And it's important for us to make sure that we nourish that inner life. All right, the next thought here is commit our daily schedule to God. Commit our daily schedule to God. We're almost done here. All of us have the same amount of time as other people. And I get it, we're all busy. We all have a lot of things to do. We all have a lot of jobs. We all have a different purpose. And so the reality is that there are so many things that are tugging for our time. So what's the answer? Well, I think it's important for us to give our schedule to God, to give it to God, and to realize that He is in control. Psalm 31, verse 15 says, "My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me." My times are in thy hands. You know, if you take a bathtub and fill it with water, and you fill that bathtub with 100 ping pong balls, and you try to keep them all under the water, you're going to push a couple down, and there's going to be some that's going to pop up, and you're going to try to push more down, and more will pop up. It's going to be really hard to get all of those ping pong balls down. So what is the answer? You're going to have to choose which ones you're going to push down. And in our life, we have so many things to do. Our culture has done that to us. We are busy people. There's no doubt about it. And so we have to make choices in 2024 of what will have priority in our life. You know, I think that if this becomes unbalanced and our time becomes out of control, we begin to try to either push all the ping pong balls down and we become frustrated, or we choose the wrong ones. And so we need the Lord to help us. We need the Lord to direct our ways. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1, "To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven." God, help us to have the grace and wisdom to choose not just good things, but the best things in our life. And then my last thought here, and that is enjoy the moment. Enjoy the moment. You know, there are people who believe and have taught me or tried to teach me that as a Christian, we cannot enjoy life. That we have to kind of just go through life as a stoic. And if we laugh or if we smile or if we enjoy life in any kind of way, then that is sin. And that is not what the Bible teaches. You know, God wants us to enjoy food. You say, well, how do you prove that? Well, he gave us taste buds. And he did that on purpose, because God always does everything on purpose, because he wants us to enjoy food. Now, sometimes we enjoy food too much, and that takes discipline. But God wants us to enjoy the life that he has given to us. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 13 says, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor, because why? It is the gift of God. God wants us to enjoy this life. Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. He wants us to enjoy the life that we have. And so we have to live in the moment. We have to live in the moment. And you know, when we think about right now, where we are, right now, this is life. This is life. God wants us to live in the moment, and God wants us to enjoy the life. If we're not careful, our life can become out of balance, and we're so busy trying to get things that we don't even enjoy what we already have. It is so silly. It's so silly. Of course, we have to plan for the future. We have to be good stewards. You understand that. I'm not excusing any of that, but I am simply saying that God wants us to enjoy life. He's given us life more abundantly, and the world will say, well, you know, you Christians, you can't enjoy life. We live life to its fullest because it is God's gift. And we enjoy the gifts that God has given to us. A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. A sound heart is a heart that is balanced, a life that has God at the center. This is a life that truly can be enjoyed. You know, the reality is God wants us to enjoy this life. And I believe it's important for us in 2024 to enjoy the opportunities that God gives us. And there'll be opposition, of course, but to enjoy the moments that God gives to us for his glory so that we can live for him. It's so important for us in this year to live a balanced life. And when things become unbalanced, we become unglued. And we begin to put value on things that don't need value. We begin to live for things that should not have our attention, and we concentrate on just holding on. I don't want you to spend this year just holding on. I want you to thrive. And that means God at the center, valuing what is important to God, nourishing that inner man, and seeking the Lord with all of our heart. And I believe this will be a great year for the glory of God. Let's pray together. Lord, help us, I pray, as we seek your face.